Hi, everyone. Okay, so as you've guessed, the section that we're reading is about love. And I'll tell you, when I first read through this section, the thing that I noticed the most was how many times the word love is in this section. Just to give you some context, there's 15 verses, but the word love is found 26 times. So I feel like we should just all take a pause and moment and just realize how important love is to God and how just central it is to who He is, His character, and what He has for us. So I wanted to start with the definition, the specific definition of love in this section. The Greek word for love used here is agape. The definition for that is the highest form of love, a sacrificial, unconditional and selfless love that acts for the well-being of others regardless of their merit or response. So this type of love is just more, it's more than a feeling or an emotion. It's profound, it's unchanging, unmovable, and it's an actionable type of love. It's a love that does. This is the kind of love that dies for us, right, by Jesus. And it doesn't depend on our merit or if we deserve it. It's for everyone. We can also look at 1 Corinthians 13 to find more specifics on what love is. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, arrogant, rude, self-seeking, irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. So I just made this connection when we're in the small groups. The word for love, the agape, what is it called? The Strong's? Okay. Sometimes you can look up numbers and numbers have meaning. And you know how I told you that the word love is found in here 26 times? Guess what the meaning of the number 26 is?
Love.
Agape, love. So I thought that was really cool and I just discovered that now. So today we're going to talk about the importance of loving others like God did for us. But what I really want to focus in on is the receiving and the experience of love that God has for us, and how important and necessary it is in our walk with Him, and how when we experience His love, it helps us to fulfill the call that He's placed on our lives to love others in the same way. So we'll start in the first section, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love." So it says right here in this section that God is love. And it's really impossible to know and experience this type of love from God and to not be changed by it, to not be transformed by it. So when we allow ourselves to actually experience and believe the love that God has for us, that should move us into loving others around us, to want to share this type of love with other people. In verse 9, it says, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." So God's profound love for us was revealed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This was His living example of the love that He has for us. Jesus embodies the love that God has for us. So Jesus, He came down. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He took on the punishment of sin that we deserve. And He died on a cross, suffered and died on a cross. But then He rose again, defeating death and sin, so that all who believe can have eternal life with Him. And this is how much God loves us, right? We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. He pursued us with His love. He loved us first. In verse 10, it says, "Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." So yes, again, God loved us first. So His love is a type that pursues and initiates. It seeks us out. It's selfless, pure, and chosen love. Yeah. And Jesus even says that, you know, that you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And so this is just so good to remember, because sometimes we can think that we need to do more to be loved. We need to do something specific. So it's really important to always remember that Jesus loved us when we were imperfect. He loved us before we knew him. He loved us before we accepted him and wanted him. So it is a free gift. We don't necessarily deserve it, but he gives it anyways. But we do have to choose to receive it. That is our choice. So I wanted to tell a quick story. I recently met a woman who does some missionary work in Mexico for an orphanage. And she was telling me about some of the stories there. She told me this one story that really stuck out to me. She had brought some teenagers down to help volunteer at the orphanage. And she witnessed a conversation between one of these teenagers and like about a 9-year-old orphaned boy. And the teenager, I think unknowing how maybe insensitive this question was trying to connect with the boy and asked him, "So how does it feel to not have parents?" And the woman was a little mortified, thinking this might really offend the boy. But the boy, she was really amazed at his response, and so was I. He lit up and he said, "I do. I have my Father in heaven." And so he took that opportunity to, instead of going dark and feeling, "Man, I don't have anyone, I don't have anything," he took that opportunity to recognize the gift of his Father in heaven. And I just think that is so cool. It inspires me to see the blessings in my life more clearly, to see how much God loves us. So I just wanted to share that, just for perspective. In verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another." Yeah, so we see the love that God has for us set by the example of Jesus. Jesus set the example during his life here how to love other people. Why he's there is because he loves us. And so that is to inspire us to do the same, to follow the example of Jesus. And if you ever want to know how you can love others better, get in the Bible, read about Jesus, and see what he did for people, right? When we go down to verses 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit." So as believers, we experience God by his Holy Spirit, which lives within us, right? When we accept Jesus into our hearts, when we make him Lord of our lives, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And that's to help comfort us, guide us, counsel us. And so this is how we experience God, by his Holy Spirit. And also by that Holy Spirit that lives within us, his love can shine through us as evidence of him to others around us. So by his Holy Spirit, we can love others and they can feel his love. So, you know, who here has met someone or been around someone and just felt the peace and love of God on them? Yeah. So this is how God wants to dwell inside of us. He wants to be known by our actions, our demeanor, our spirit. He wants, you know, our flesh to stand out of the way and his Spirit to shine forth. And he wants this to be proof of him to others. So how we live our lives and how we walk in love is truly like a living testament to who God is. You know, Jesus says you'll recognize them by their fruit. The fruits of the Spirit, when we walk in this type of love, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so when we reflect the love of God, you know, that he has for us, it brings people into him. They want to know more. They want some of that. They want whatever that magic Holy Spirit feeling is, right? And we can only really love others like Jesus by his strength and spirit, not in our own strength, by his example, not by ours. And so let's go down to verse 14. 13 to 15, it says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God." So here it says the world's Savior. So actually, well, first, so we have the Holy Spirit, so we're able to testify. We're able to testify to who God is because he's inside of us, right? And it also says that he's the world's Savior, which means not just my Savior, not just your Savior, but the world's Savior, right? He is available to everyone. Salvation is available to everyone, and no one is too far. Personally, my life is proof of that. I lived most of my life as an atheist. I didn't really want anything to do with God. I didn't know God until he encountered me and rocked my world. But through that and how he's transformed my life and the fruits of that have made people around me curious about why have I changed? What's new about me? And that gives me an opportunity to tell people about God and about the transformative power of God. You know, some of my family, a lot of my family, and some friends that I have are still not believers, but they've become open and softened because they're seeing what he's done in me. And so that's what I mean about the Holy Spirit's in us, and that that serves as proof to other people of the one true living God. Let's go to verse 16. It says, "And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him." So the word that stuck out to me most in this passage is the word believe, you know, because we can be told about the love of God, we can read about the love of God, but to believe it is really when it does something for you, when it changes something. So believe the love that God has for you. And I encourage you to go to Jesus regularly for him to renew your heart and mind in this truth. It's not a one and done deal. It's not we learn God's love for us and then we're set for the rest of our life. It's seeking him for your daily bread, right? You need to go to him every day for that. I personally have experience with this somewhat recently. I was feeling far from God. I was feeling far from his love. It was feeling really abstract to me. It just wasn't feeling tangible and real. And so I just went to Jesus one day in prayer, and I just said that. I said, "Jesus, I feel far from you. I feel far from your love. I know I'm supposed to trust you, but I need to be reminded why. Why am I, you know, it's that you love me. So can you remind me of your love today?" And I mean, I'll tell you what, Jesus was so good to me that day. He showed up in a lot of ways. Not an hour after I prayed that prayer, my phone rang, and it was a friend. And she didn't know what was going on with me. She didn't know that I prayed that prayer. She called me and she said, "God told me to call you and tell you that you're beautiful." And I just felt like I was smacked upside the head. I was like, wow, that is amazing. And you know what? There was a part of me that I don't think I realized it, but that I needed to hear that, because I don't always feel beautiful. I don't always feel seen. Later that morning, I went to a corner bakery with my daughter to do some homeschool work. And while we were working, a stranger approached me and her with all this joy and praise and encouragement of like, "Oh, this is so great, you're homeschooling," and just really filled my cup in that area of my parenting. And you know what? I really needed to hear that too, because sometimes I feel like I'm failing as a parent. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. And then also, which was totally random, that woman, she started to walk away, and then she stopped and she turned around, and do you know what she told me? She told me that she loved me, which is totally wild for a stranger to tell you that they love you. And you know what? I needed to hear that too, because I don't always feel loved, right? And then I ended up having an encounter with a worker there. We were able to pray together, and then he ended up blessing me in a small way. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't ask for it. He just freely blessed me in this small but really meaningful way. But it spoke volumes to me. And it was in that moment that I just realized what Jesus was doing to me that day. Just radically, radically encountering me with his love. And it also just gave me this fresh perspective too of, man, like how many little shows of love from God have I missed in the past? How many have I overlooked, right? That truly, it just gave me these fresh eyes that his love is everywhere. It's in everything. It's available to be harvested at any moment that you choose to receive his love. And so that was just a really cool day. And now this has become like a regular prayer of mine. Jesus, help me to see you today, right? Help me to see you, whether it's in a need for someone else, how I can show up for them, how I can be one of those voices that spoke to me in that day. Maybe I could do that for someone else. Or Jesus, help me to see you today. I need to see your love. I need to feel filled, right? And I tell you, when you ask God for those types of things and you ask him for wisdom, and he is faithful to show up and to give it to you. So that's my encouragement to you guys. If you ever find yourself in a similar position, ask Jesus. He'll show you. It may not look how like it did for me, but he'll speak to you in your language. So let's go to verses 17 through 19. It says, in this, love is made complete with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. So because fear involves punishment, so the one who fears is not complete in love. So it says right here in this section that there is no fear in love. There's just no room for it. You can't have both at the same time. Fear, it also says here that fear involves punishment, right? But who took our punishment? Jesus, right? So we don't need to fear punishment. We don't need to fear that we're not enough, that we're not doing enough, that we're failing, that we don't deserve this. Because while all of that's true, Jesus said he's going to give it to us anyways, right? And so I would say, yeah, Satan equals fear. He likes to really get in there and make you feel afraid, make you fear that maybe God is not in control. Fear that he doesn't love us unconditionally, that his love is contingent on something. Or fear that he is looking to punish us or turn away from us. Satan would love to convince us of this and out of trusting God. But God has nothing but grace and love for us. And I almost look at it like an umbrella. Like God's love is this grace and umbrella, and you can take it with you everywhere, right? And he's always covering you. But if Satan can tempt you to walk out from under it or to leave it behind, that's how he can get you. Because God's love for you isn't going anywhere. Like the only way that Satan can get us is if he convinces us that it's not there, or convinces us to not realize it or to walk away from it. Okay, so let's see. And God's perfect love and grace that he has for us is manifested in Jesus Christ, right? He is the example of his love for us. And we are made one with him by the Holy Spirit. So this should give us confidence and assurance in him that we are made complete in him, and that we are made complete in his love by him. Jesus has nothing but perfect love for us. He is the, I think it's in Hebrews 12:2. Jesus is referred to as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the reason why we can have faith. And also in 2 Timothy, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we should recognize that when we're experiencing fear, that's not from him. So fear is a signal And I do believe that we should recognize it as a signal to go back to the cross, to go back to Jesus, to go back to his feet, to be reminded of his love, to be reminded of his truth, and to be filled by that, because perfect love casts out fear, right? And this was important. I've learned this lesson a few times. God isn't always, when he speaks to us, he isn't always looking to correct us or discipline us or change us or have us do something different. Sometimes he's often looking just to remind us that he loves us, right? Yeah. So I encourage you to remain in his grace and love. All right, so we're going to read the last couple sections here. Verse 20 through 21, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him, the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister." So remaining in God's love, the love that he has for you, and the love that you can demonstrate to others through him, remaining in his love, it just leaves no room for hate. The same thing like fear and love, hate and love cannot be happening at the same time. This is a test of faith for us. Will you love like Jesus, right? Will you love like the example that was set before us, the type of love that Jesus had for us is sacrificial. It's without reciprocation. You know, sometimes when we love other people, it's not always given back to us, right? And so, but that's how Jesus started with us, right? He loved us first. And it can be costly, right? It costed Jesus his life, the way that he lived and he suffered and died for us. So when we love other people, that's often going to cost us something too. Like whether it's our time or energy or bandwidth, whatever it is. So it can be hard. It can be hard to love other people, especially the Jesus way. And it can be hard to love, especially when you don't feel loved yourself. And that's why it's important to remember and believe the love that God has for you, because it really does fuel you to be able to love other people. So Jesus, while he was here, he found strength to love us in the face of adversity by receiving the love of the Father. So that's what we do too. You know, in order to love other people, sometimes we struggle with relationships, family. Maybe there's people that are hard to love in our lives, but that the only way that we're strengthened to do this is through the love of the Father and by receiving his love for you, so you feel full and you're able to give. So we're not supposed to hate other people, but do you know who else we're also not supposed to hate? Ourselves. Like, self-hate is hate, and it's a tool, I believe, often used by Satan. If he can convince you that you're unlovable, that you're unworthy, that you're not worth it, that you're a burden, that is how he's going to get you. He's convincing you out of the gift that God's already given you, right? And that takes away, that creates a powerlessness in you. But when we remain in the love of God, that is how we are empowered, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. So remember how God has loved you through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate example of love, right? Someone dying for you, right? So experience the weight and fullness of his love, and this will heal you, both heal you and help you to love others better. When we experience, we can do, right? Also, praise and glorify Jesus. Give God all the credit, because we really only love others because he loved us first, right? He showed us how to do it, and it's only by his strength. So really, all the credit is due to him. You know, like we said, we can't do anything to earn love. So there's really not a whole lot we can give to God, right? There's not a lot we have to offer. He has so much to offer us, and we don't have much to give back to Him. But what we can do and what we can give back to Him is our gratitude for His love. We can praise Him, glorify Him, point others to Him. Yeah. So I wanted to share a story about how I encountered the profound love of God. I was in a struggle season. And long story short, I felt like there was something inside of me, some sort of stubborn root. There was something broken in me, but I couldn't figure it out. I had sacrificed every part of my life to Jesus. I kept surrendering every dark thought, everything I could think of. It was beyond me. I could not figure out what was going on in me. And so I went to Jesus. I was alone in my room praying. And I prayed this long prayer. But then when I got to these certain words, like these words just came out of my mouth, something radical happened. I said, "Lord, break the chains I cannot see. My Savior, save me." Because I didn't know what the chains were. I didn't know what was going on. When I said that, I felt a jolt, like in my spirit. Something shifted. Those words felt important. And so I said them two more times. And then when I did that, Jesus encountered me in my room right there. My eyes were closed, and I was transported back in time to a childhood memory that was just pulled out from inside of me. So in my mind, in this vision, I was standing in my childhood home. I was standing in my mother's room. As some of you know and don't know, my childhood had struggles. I was exposed to a lot of stuff I shouldn't have been. But I was standing in my mother's room. My stepfather and my mother were fighting. My stepfather wanted to leave her, and she was scared and she didn't want that. And so they were fighting an ugly fight. But while I'm in this vision, I'm standing there like I was when I was a child watching this. But this time Jesus is standing right next to me. He's not saying anything. He's just standing right next to me, and we're watching together. And, it was during this time that when my stepfather told my mother that he was going to leave, she said these words. She said to him, right in front of me, she said to him, "If you weren't in my life, I have no reason to live." And then after saying that is when she attempted to take her life in front of me and everyone else. And as a child, I was scared, I was confused, I felt forgotten, forsaken, all sorts of things. I felt unloved, not enough to keep her there. And what I heard when she said those words, what I heard was, "You weren't worth living for." And it was in that moment in the vision that Jesus was standing next to me. He put his hand on my shoulder. He faced me towards him. He knelt down to be eye level with me, and he looked right in my eyes, and he said to me, "You're worth dying for." And that did something to me that really just shattered my world. I had never felt so seen, so loved, so wanted, so chosen. And in that moment, Jesus brought his light into the darkness. He took a memory that I didn't realize how much formed a feeling in me of worthlessness. And he replaced it with his message of love, and that he chose me. And I believe wholeheartedly that before I knew him, because remember, I hadn't chosen him yet. I lived my whole life away from him. That even in that moment before I knew him, he had already chosen me. I know that we live in a spiritual world and an earthly world. And I know that actually happened. in that moment, he was revealing to me what actually happened. He was in that room with me, and he was speaking those words to me. And he chose to reveal it in this time to me, to heal me. It both broke me and healed me at the same time. It broke me because I felt just like undeserving of this love. This love is so big. It's so much bigger than me. How could I have it? And it just, the weight of Jesus and his sacrifice and what he's done for me and everyone else here just hit me like a ton of bricks, and that broke me, and it created this new love for me for him. And as someone that I love died the way that he did and suffered for me. But it also healed me because it showed me that despite all of that, that I'm worth loving, that I was worth the sacrifice of him. And so, I mean, this is, I'm sure we are all carrying around hidden messages that we're still operating under, lies that we're operating under, and I know that Jesus wants to bring healing to them. And so maybe this is mine and yours is different, I don't know. To me, that was one of the most powerful moments I experienced, where his love became experiential to me, and not abstract, not reading it, but living it. So this for me, this is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what he can do in your life. This is the truth he can show you. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Okay. So this is this type of love that he has for us that can heal us and make us whole and bring freedom to these areas, to break the chains that we can't see. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the love he has for us. The foundation of it is love for us. And I just think it's so important that we don't forget it. We don't lose sight of it. We take it with us everywhere we go, with the people that we interact with. When we go and share the gospel to other people, this is the weight of it. This is what we're selling. Let's sell it with love. Let's experience it so we can tell others about it. So that is it. That is what I have for you guys. But I wanted to take a moment to, if we want to close our eyes, and just kind of meditate, see what the Holy Spirit has, see what God has for you in this moment. I believe without a doubt that God has a gift of love that he wants to dispense and release upon each and every one of you. And it's okay if it doesn't come now. I know, I rest assured in his perfect timing that he'll bring it to you. But let's just ponder on some questions. Are you allowing yourself to fully experience the love of God? Do you want to experience more? And that God has more to show us. I'm going to pray for us. You guys can keep your eyes closed. You can keep meditating on whatever you are. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your perfect gift of love. I thank you for the healing it does. for the power we receive by it, for your Holy Spirit that lives within us, and therefore your love, your perfect love and your power. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, for choosing us even before we chose you, for doing for us despite what we do, and for just giving this ultimate sacrifice, not because you had to, not because we did something to deserve it, but out of your own selfless, chosen love that pursues us and pursues us all. And Lord, I just pray, Father, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters here in Christ. I pray that you meet them in their need. I pray that you break their chain. I pray that you show them the way. Show them the way to you, to remain in you, and to remain in that safe place, that umbrella of your love and grace. I pray that you fortify their minds and hearts and spirits to resist every voice that tries to convince them out of your love or away from it. I pray that you give them the eyes to see you and to see you in everything. And that you strengthen them by your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you pursue your lost sheep. And I thank you that you are with us even in darkness. That you are close to the brokenhearted and you save those who are crushed in spirit. That there is no valley too low that you cannot reach us. I pray that you meet everyone here in their valley, whatever their valley is. And you meet them there with your overwhelming and all-consuming love, your perfect love, and with that, that you cast out every fear, every doubt, every worry, every concern, every feeling of unworthiness, every feeling that makes them feel like they need to earn your love or to do more to get it. I pray that you remove and lift all barriers that stand in the way of your perfect love and the hearts of your children. And I pray that you bless each person, that you pour out your grace and mercy upon them and your peace, your overwhelming peace, that even in those painful moments of darkness, that your peace surpass it all and that you are close to them in those moments. So God, we want you, we want your will, we want your way for us, and we want to see your love in everything. Jesus, would you be the center of us all right now and touch each person? And would you be the center of our hearts and lives? And if there is anyone here who has yet to fully give their heart over to you, I pray right now that you put it deeply in their heart, that you let them feel the ache where they reach out and they surrender their heart to you. And that you quickly heal up their heart and replace it with your love. May we yield to you and submit to you in all ways. And may we lead in love in everything that we do. And may we be strengthened and able to do it only by the love that you have for us. Let us feel and experience it to the full depth that you have for us. I pray this and I ask that you bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll say thanks to Laura for sharing the message today.